So today we'll be discussing from the episode of Dhruva Maharaj, which has been described in Srimad Bhagavatam. There will be two sessions, now in the morning one session and also in the evening one session. As there are a lot of things to be discussed, I will not take any verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. So I'll take the essence of the chapter and try to discuss it. And first of all, I'd like to thank all of you for attending this discourse, and I am feeling very happy and privileged that I have been given this opportunity to talk in Bhaktivedanta manner, although I am not so qualified to speak on this subject matter, but by your mercy, I'll speak something. So Dhruva Maharaj episode is very, very important for the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he used to stay in Jagannath Puri, he used to listen from Srimad Bhagavatam every day from Gadadhar Pandit in Tota Gopinath. So when he used to go to hear Srimad Bhagavatam from Gadadhar Pandit, two topics are very favorite for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he used to hear again and again, again and again, again and again. And these topics are life of Prahlad Maharaj and life of Dhruva Maharaj. So that's why, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave so much importance to this topic of Dhruva Maharaj's life, so there is lot of things which can be learned from this life of Dhruva Maharaj. And Mahaprabhu personally exhibited the importance by hearing it again and again, again and again. So I know we are all practicing devotees of Krishna consciousness for many, many years. You know this episode and you know all these things, but we'll follow in the footsteps of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Although we heard it many times, we'll try to hear it again and again. So from the episode of Dhruva Maharaj, we learn many things, but out of this, we learn six things. First is, we learn detachment. Second, we learn austerity. Third, we learn that we should have faith in the words of the Lord and His representative. Fourth lesson, bhakti is the solution to all the problems in our life. And by the process of bhakti, we can elevate our consciousness from material consciousness to spiritual consciousness. And Dhruva Maharaj's life is a very nice advertisement for devotional service and is very inspiring, because Dhruva Maharaj did this austerity at the age of 5. So a 5-year-old boy can do, why not us? So it's very inspiring. So I'll try to divide the whole episode into 5 scenes. I'll just present in a dramatic way. In a drama, there are different scenes. And this drama is taking place at the palace of King Uthanapad. So all of you know that Swayambhuva Manu had 2 sons. One is King Priyabrata, another son is King Uthanapad. And Uthanapad had 2 wives. One wife is Suruchi, another wife is Suniti. Suruchi's son was Uttam, and Suniti's son was Dhruva. So the story begins with the first scene. King Uthanapad is sitting on the chariot in his palace, and Uttam is sitting on his lap. And by seeing his brother sitting on the lap of his father, Dhruva wanted to sit also on the lap of King Uthanapad. And he approached, and his stepmother, Suruchi, he was very harsh in her words, and she started chastising Dhruva She said, Dhruva, you want to sit on the lap of your father. But this is not possible in this life. You have to perform a lot of your austerities and worship Lord. And when you perfection in your worship, then you will die. And after dying, when you take another birth, and in your next birth, when you take birth from my womb, then you will get this opportunity to sit on the lap of your father. But by hearing these harsh words from his stepmother, Suruchi, Dhruva was devastated. And he became very angry. And he started crying. And he left that place and ran towards his mother, Suniti. So this is the first scene which has been described in Srimad Bhagavatam. So we'll try to analyze this incident and try to learn so many things from this scene. First is, Dhruva Maharaj thought that his father's slap can give him security in his life. So that is the root cause of our suffering. Material desire is the root cause of our own suffering. And when we think that material prosperity, material security will give us security in our life, that is the biggest misunderstanding we have in our life. And as long as we have that understanding, that if we keep something very nice in the material world, then that will protect us. But rather, that will put us down. So, real protector is Krishna. And we should be willing to accept the protection given by Krishna and not anybody else. But Dhruva wanted to be secured materially by getting the lap of his father. So generally in this material world, we all try to have material prosperities. And we think that material prosperity will protect us, will make us happy. But sad part of that story is that more we try to have, more we become complicated in our life. So that is the nature of this material world. So Dhruva Maharaj wanted to have the lap of his father, and we wanted to have so much thing in this material world. So there was a king. That king had lot of wealth he had. And he thought that his wealth will protect him. But one day, one sadhu came to his palace. And sadhu said, my dear king, you have a bad news. What is that bad news? That you are going to die very soon. So as soon as he heard that, he got devastated. Oh, I have to die. Generally, people tend to forget that we have to die one day. So, that sadhu said, okay, you have that bad news, don't be so much upset with that. You have a good news also. What is the good news? After your death, you'll go to heavenly planet. He said, okay, good news. But sadhu said, there is a problem in the heavenly planet. What is that problem? Problem is that there are a lot of mosquitoes in the heavenly planet. So then king said, what to do then? How to protect myself from those mosquitoes? He said, no problem. Mosquito net is also available in this heavenly planet. So the king said, okay, there is no problem. So I'll use mosquito net there. Anyway, I use mosquito net here. So sadhu said, okay, but there is one problem with the mosquito net also. What is that problem? That mosquito net has many holes. Then what to do? King became again sad. So by seeing that, sadhu said, no problem. You just take one needle and thread and stitch those holes, then you can use that mosquito net. Then king got very much happy. Oh, really? So then he said, okay. Then Sadhu said, one problem is still there. What is that problem? That needle and thread is not available in heavenly planet. Then king said, then why, how then, how I'll get it? Then Sadhu said, I have one solution to that problem. What is the solution? When you die, at the time of dying, you just take one needle and thread from this place and take it there. So king said, no problem, very nice solution you have given. And by telling that, Sadhu left. And after Sadhu left, the king started realizing, Are? He said, I have to carry one needle and thread when I die. But when I'll die, I cannot carry anything. So how I can carry needle and thread? So he has cheated me. So he called that Sadhu. And he became very angry with that Sadhu. He said, you are trying to misguide me, cheating me, that I can take one needle and thread to the heavenly planet. So Sadhu said, really, you cannot take needle and thread? No, I cannot take anything. Then Sadhu said, then why you are accumulating so much? You are accumulating money for your generation, next generation, 21st generation, 100 generations, thinking that that will protect you. What you are telling, at the time of death, you cannot carry one needle and thread. Then king said, yes. So Sadhu said, because of that, I came to remind you that is the reality of our life. So wake up and come to face the reality. So that's the reality. At the time of death, nobody can protect us. Nobody can protect us. And that is the ultimate truth of our life. But Dhruva Maharaj could not understand that, and he thought that his father's lap can give him protection. And in the following in his footsteps, all the conditioned souls in this material world try to get protection from material adjustments. That is the first mistake we will do as a practicing devotee, trying to make some adjustment. We say, oh, I'll adjust this life in this way, then I'll be happy. The problem is that if you adjust in one way, then another problem comes. You solve that problem, another problem comes. So in that way, whole life goes to make adjustments. Because material world, you cannot adjust. Because Krishna has said, dukkhalayam asashatam. This material world is full of miseries. So one misery you can solve, another misery will come. Otherwise this place will be a place of happiness. Then Krishna's verdict of Bhagavad Gita will become untrue. So therefore we have to realize that material prosperity or material security cannot give us any protection in our life. That is the first lesson. Second lesson is, Suruchi was using very harsh words. Very harsh he was. Very strongly chastising Dhruva Maharaj. Why? Because of her one quality. That quality is pride, false ego. When we are captivated by false ego, we use very strong words. And Suruchi did that, strong wordings. So in our devotional service also, as a practicing devotee, we also use harsh words towards other devotees, towards other living entities. We do that. And that reveals that we are also bound by this quality of pride or false ego. So how to take care of this pride? Because pride is a stumbling block in our devotional progress. Jai Sri Radha Gokula Nanda ki, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Sri Gaur Nitai ki, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So how to take care of this pride? So taking care of pride is an interesting art, and we can do that. So first problem is that whatever we do, we want to take credit. If something goes nice, we said, we have done it. If something goes wrong, he has done it. So we do like that, no? This material world, if anything good is because of me, if anything is bad, that's because of somebody else. But as a devotee, we should think opposite. If anything wonderful has been achieved, it's because of the mercy of the spiritual master, mercy of the Gaudiya, mercy of the Vaishnavas, mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We should take in that spirit. If anything goes wrong, that's because of me. But we take different spirit. Why? Because we want to take the credit. So first quality we should have, we should pass on the credit. We should not take the credit in our life. Because pride is like a hot potato. You heard the story, I think. It's a hot potato story. So, in US, generally what they do, they bake potato. So maybe mother in the house bakes the potato. And when it comes out from the baking machine, it's very hot. So as soon as it comes out, the mother gives it to the father. It's too hot to handle. Then father thinks it's also too hot. Then he passes to his son. So like that, when it becomes cold, then that person eats that hot potato. So praise, glorification is like hot potato. So if you take it, just like if mother takes that hot potato, she'll burn. In the same way, if we take also hot potato like praise, then we'll also burn our Krishna consciousness. What's the process? Process is as soon as somebody glorifies you, you should pass on that hot potato to your spiritual master. Because it's too hot to handle. Then it goes to my spiritual master. Spiritual master thinks, oh, it's too much for me also. Too hot. Give it to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada says, too much to handle. Give it to the previous acharyas. And ultimately it goes to Krishna, who can handle any hot potato. Because all the credit should go to Krishna. So taking worship is not a big deal. You can take it. But you should pass on that worship. If you want to keep it, then you will burn. But if you pass it, you are properly situated. Therefore, anything good, any credit, you should pass on. And Prabhupada used to do that also. He gave all the credit to his spiritual master. He gave all the credit to his disciples. He never took any credit for himself. But although we know he has done so much, but he never took any credit. He always gave credit to his superiors and he always gave credit to his inferiors, to his disciples and to his spiritual master. So Prabhupada exhibited that also. So one day, one man from South India, one sadhu, is called Swami Atmananda. He entered into a ISKCON temple. And he saw that time Guru Puja of Srila Prabhupada was going on. And Sri Guru Charana Padma Kevala Bhakati Shadma, the devotees are singing. And with great surprise, the Swami Atmananda saw that Prabhupada is also singing. Sri Guru Charana Padma Kevala Bhakati Shadma. And he got surprised. How come? And Loknath Maharaj was there. And he asked Loknath Maharaj, how come your guru is glorifying himself? He is doing his own puja. Loknath Maharaj said, it's not like that. Thing is that his disciples are offering puja to him. So that's why they are singing Sri Guru Charana Padma. But he is not taking that puja. He is giving it to his spiritual master. That's why he is also singing Sri Guru Charana Padma. And by that he is transferring that puja to his spiritual master. And this Swami Atmananda got very much impressed by the genuine nature of Srila Prabhupada. And he joined the movement and he became Atmatatpra Prabhu from South India. So this is the quality of Srila Prabhupada. He never took any credit. So therefore, we should try to practice how to pass on the credit. Second is, we have to reveal the heart. We are all proud, but if we reveal our anarthas to our spiritual authorities, then we can get free from this pride. Otherwise, it's very, very difficult. So there was a hunter. So he used to hunt animals in different forests. So one day, that hunter wanted to go to a forest where hunting is strictly prohibited. So what he did, he put on a big jacket, long jacket, and he kept all his arms inside so that nobody can understand what is there. So he entered into the forest and there was a jackal and he just shot that jackal and jackal was falling, half dead, almost dying. So when that was happening, that hunter heard that one jeep is coming. And he thought that forest officer is coming, so there is no other choice, I have to be behind the bar. What to do? So then what he did, he took that jackal and kept inside his long jacket. It was too big. So he kept it inside, and that forest officer came and started talking to that man. He said, "What are you doing?" No, I am moving around." "Really, you are not hunting an animal, no?" I said, "No." And he also got impressed by the words of that hunter, and they started talking. But inside, something else was happening. Because jackal was not fully dead, he said, "Before I die, I should have last feast." So he started eating the flesh of that hunter. And it was continuing. Then forest officer left. After he left, that hunter fell on the ground dead, and jackal also fell on the ground dead. So this jackal represents all anarthas, and this long coat represents our false ego. So when by the false ego we want to cover up our anarthas, these anarthas eat up the flesh of our devotional service and we lose our spiritual life. Therefore, we have to disclose our anarthas to our spiritual authorities so that we can be free from this anarthas. So revealing the heart is very, very important. And third one is, we have to accept criticism. We like to criticize others, but we don't like to hear criticism about ourselves, right? But we should do opposite. We should glorify others and try to be ready to hear criticisms. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say, "The critic should be my neighbor." But we like to have friends. He said, "Critics are my best friends. And those who are glorifying me, they are my enemies." So, Parashar Bhattar, one leading sadhu in South India, he was giving lecture in the temple. And one man came while lecture was going on, and he started criticizing like anything this Parashar Bhattar. So all the disciples were sitting. So Guru Ninda, they became very angry and they wanted to throw him out. Then his spiritual master said, no, don't do that. Let him criticize. Let him talk. After he finished his talk, then he told one disciple, "Go and bring some gift." And disciple brought some gift and he gave that gift to that man. All the disciples got surprised to see that. And he said, "Guru Maharaj, why you have done like that?" He said, "In front of the deity, we should do two things. First, we should glorify the deity, glorify the Lord, and we should criticize ourselves. But in my whole life, I only glorified the Supreme Personality of God in His presence. But I never did criticism about myself. So I did my half, 50% of my mission. So this man today has finished my other 50% of my mission. Therefore, I am very grateful to him and I gave the gift." So this should be our mood. We should try to hear criticisms, because criticisms are very favorable to advance in Krishna consciousness if we take it in a favorable way. We should not do that. It's a very unique philosophy. We should not criticize, but we should be ready to hear criticism. And fourth is develop humility. We have to develop humility in our life. We all sang today, "Trinadapi sunichena tararupi sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadari." So humility is the first quality of a devotee. We should be humble. But we are very proud. Prabhupada said to become humble, we should be humble. We are very insignificant. And I was hearing that whole creation, 3/4 is spiritual world, 1/4 is material world. And out of this 1/4 material world, there are unlimited universes in this material world. We are in the smallest universe, having Brahma with 4 heads. There are universes, Brahma having 8 heads, 16 heads, 1,000 heads, 1 million heads. How he manages is very difficult to realize. But it's mentioned in Shastra that Brahma has millions of heads also. There, that kind of Brahma is also there. So that's the big, big universes, but we are in the smallest universe. And in this universe, there are 14 planetary systems. We are in Bhuloka. And in Bhuloka, there are so many continents. Now, Bhaktivedanta Manor, England, UK, situated in Europe. So, there are so many countries in Europe, so we are in England. And England, there are so many places. We are here in Bhaktivedanta Manor. In Bhaktivedanta Manor, there are so many houses. We are in this temple. In this temple room, there are so many people. I am one of them. So how insignificant we are, but still we think we are the controller of this world, right? So we don't have to have spiritual knowledge or knowledge from Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam to realize that we are very insignificant. But still, because of the false ego, we think we are big. Therefore, spiritual life means we have to develop humility. And humility comes from knowledge. And pride comes from ignorance. So humility does not mean think oneself less. Rather, we should try to think. Humility doesn't mean think less of oneself. Rather, humility means thinks oneself less. We should try to think the greatness of Krishna. We should try to think greatness of devotees. So I'll give one example. When we are far, far away from the mountain, so mountain looks very small. And I feel, oh, I am also big like mountain. But when we go towards that mountain, two things happen. One is that mountain starts appearing bigger and bigger, and I start appearing smaller and smaller. So Krishna is like mountain. So when we are far, far away from Krishna, we are very proud. Oh, I am also big. But when that person comes closer to Krishna, two things happen. Krishna starts appearing greater and greater, and myself starts appearing smaller and smaller. So when a devotee is humble, that is the proof that he is closer to Krishna. And when a devotee is very proud, that is the symptom that he is far, far away from Krishna. So therefore, humility is a natural quality for advancement in Krishna consciousness. And when we are advancing, coming closer to Krishna naturally, that humility will be developed. So developing humility is very, very important in our life. Otherwise, it's very difficult to advance in Krishna consciousness because that is ignorance. Spiritual life is based on knowledge. And third is, and the last one is, we have to engage in service. Then pride can go away. So one day, one vice-chancellor from a renowned university came to see Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And he said, I have many questions to ask you. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, I am very busy now. Go to my disciples. They are in the kitchen. You just ask them. So he entered into the kitchen. And disciple said, okay, you want to ask questions. Before you ask question, you just clean the kitchen. So vice chancellor is a big, big man. Somehow or other, he got surprised, but started washing the pots of the Lord. So after whole thing is over, kitchen is cleaned, everything is over. Then the devotee is asked, you have any question? He said, I got all the answers. And then he went to Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Thakur. He said, my disciples answered your question. You have any question now? He said, no, I have got all the answers. So whatever false ego we have, if we are engaged in menial service of the Lord, this false ego goes away. So therefore, by passing on the credit, by revealing our heart, by accepting criticisms, by developing humility, and by engaging in menial service of the Lord, we can be free from pride. So Suruchi was full of false ego. Therefore, she was using very strong, harsh words towards Dhruva Maharaj. And other lesson is that harsh words made Dhruva Maharaj very angry. And that changed his life. So therefore, we should be very, very careful what kind of words we are using in our devotional service. So according to Bhagavad Gita, the words, the speech should be having five qualities. First quality of our speech should be, should not break the heart of a person. It should be truthful. It should be pleasing. It should be beneficial, and it should be from Shastra. These are the five qualities we should have while we are talking. What are those five qualities? It should not break the heart of the person. It should be truthful. Third one is, it should be pleasing. It doesn't mean that we should it should be truthful but pleasing. And it should be beneficial. And last, it should be based on Shastra. Words have a very strong effect in our life. It's like a bullet. If it comes out, you cannot take it back. So therefore, we should be very, very careful. That's why Rupa Goswami in Nectar of Instruction says, Bacha Vegam. We have to control our speech. So, this speech has a lot of effect in our life. So there was a landlord, a big landlord, and one beggar came to him and started glorifying. Oh, you are so wealthy person, you have so much money. And the landlord said, he called his wife, are you hearing me? Please bring some gift. Bring some gift for this beggar. Then beggar started talking again. Oh, you have such a beautiful house. You have such a beautiful car. Then that household said, okay, you bring some 1,000 rupees for him. And beggar said, oh, so many things are coming. Then he started glorifying. Your garden is so nice. You are so much charitable. He started glorifying. And that landlord is telling, bring this, bring that. And whole thing was going on. Then the beggar started asking, you're telling your wife to bring, why is not coming? Then landlord said, it will not come. Said, why? So he's telling that you are satisfying me by words, I am also satisfying you by words. So, like that. So there are two frogs one day, they fell into an well, big well. And other frogs assembled there, power of words. So these frogs are telling, don't try, you cannot come out. So one frog was trying to climb, he fell and died. But other frog, in spite of so much discouragement, he was climbing, and he came out of the well. Then other frogs, they said, we are telling you so many times, don't come out, you cannot come out. How you came out? He said, really? You are telling like that? I thought you are encouraging me. Why? Because I have a hearing problem. That's why I thought that you are encouraging me. That's why I came out. So words, if you should talk encouraging, that can change your life in a positive way. And if you use harsh words in a discouraging way, you can discourage a person's life. So therefore, we should always use words that are encouraging and beneficial for others. And we should try to follow the instruction of Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, having our speeches, these five qualities. And Dhruva, he became very angry. Why he became angry? Because he had a lot of material desires. When our material desires are not fulfilled, we become angry. Kama yasa, krodha yasa, rajaguna, samudbhava. So Dhruva Maharaj became angry. And anger is very, very dangerous. It's mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, when you become angry, your whole body gets polluted. And you should take bath. It's very, very polluting. And it creates poison in your body. So there is a story, once a mother became very angry. And that baby at that time drinking the breast milk. And by drinking that breast milk, that boy became dead. Why? Because the mother was so angry, by that anger, the whole breast milk became poisonous. It's not a story. What Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita is absolute truth. And this was the fact, that child was dead. So therefore, we have to become very careful not to become angry. So, Dronacharya was teaching the Pandavas. And he was teaching that you should not become angry. Okay. So, he said, you should learn that and try to remember it. So, he taught that don't become angry. So, next day, he asked other Pandavas, have you learned that you should not become angry? Everybody said yes, except Yudhishthir Maharaj. He said, no, I am trying to remember. So, next day, again Dronacharya said, can you remember? You should not become angry. He's telling, trying. So it goes on for 7 days. And Dronacharya became very upset. He got angry and he took a stick and he was very angry and started beating Yudhishthir Maharaj. Then Dronacharya asked Yudhishthir, can you remember now? He said, yes, now I can remember. He said, why? He said, I was practicing and I was not getting the experience. Now you have beaten me up. Even after that I am not becoming angry. Therefore, I have understood the reality of your message. But the problem is the person who taught don't become angry, he became angry, Dronacharya. So it's very difficult to control our anger. Very difficult. And for that, there is a whole topic how to control our anger. But bottom line is that our material desires should be controlled. More we control our material desire, anger will be less. So Dhruva Maharaj, he became very angry. And after becoming angry, he ran towards his mother. This is the second sin. Dhruva Maharaj is approaching his mother in her palace. And this incident, what has happened to Dhruva, Suniti, through her maidservants, she already knew. So Dhruva Maharaj came and explained the whole story to Suniti. And what happens if somebody treats you badly, you become very negative minded. But Suniti did not do like that. He took in a very positive spirit. That's why he acted like a guru. She acted like a guru. She said, take the essence what Suruchi has said. Maybe she has told in a very harsh way, but there is a truth. Whatever she has said. What is that truth? Suruchi said, in order to get the laugh of your father, you have to worship Narayan. So take that essence. That is absolute. So why you are becoming angry? Take the essence of her talk and start worshipping Narayan. So that is the quality of Suniti. That's why she accepted the harsh word in a positive way. We should also become like that. When someone is using very strong words, we should not be disturbed by the talk, but we should try to take the essence what he is trying to communicate. Suniti did like that. She took the essence and gave that essence to her son. And by that, she acted like a guru. And she exhibited a positive attitude. So having positive attitude is an essential quality of a practicing devotee. We should take everything positively. So there was a man, he was going by a boat, and he did not have any watch, and he was curious what's the time. So he asked a person next to him, what's the time? It's a heavy duty guy. And he punched on his face as soon as he asked the question. And all the people got surprised that he asked question was the time and this man responded like that. So everybody got very angry. Then that man said, why I asked you time, why you did like that? He said, that's my style to tell time. Really? That's your style? What's the style, what you have told? I punched once. That means it's 1 o'clock. So other friends, they got surprised to see that. He said, this is too much. He cannot do like that. We should beat him up also. Then he said, no. Be very positive. Think that Krishna is so merciful. Why? He said that I ask the time now. So see, if I ask the time 1 hour before, what would have happened to me? It was 12 o'clock. Then I would have got 12 punches. Instead of 12 punches, I got only one punch. That is the mercy of the Lord. We should take in a very positive spirit. So Prabhupada also exhibited that quality. Once his hand was cut and it was bleeding. So he said that this is the mercy of the Lord. Whatever Krishna does is good for us. So he said, I was supposed to be cut, my head was supposed to be cut. But by the mercy of the Lord, only my finger was cut. That was the mood of Srila Prabhupada. In every step, we should think in a very positive spirit and always try to see the mercy of the Lord at our life. But generally what happens when something good happens in our life? Oh, Krishna is very merciful. If something goes wrong, oh, we are doing so much for Krishna, why is so much cruel to us, is not. So mercy, always good things, we see the mercy. But a pure devotee of the Lord or a sincere devotee of the Lord sees mercy of Krishna at every step in our life. That is the quality. So there was a king and he had a minister. And this minister was a very nice minister and he had a faith that whatever Lord does is good for us. So one day, that king also got cut, that his finger was cut. And he said, that's also good, that is also desired by Krishna, that's also is good for, whatever Krishna does is good. That minister said, yes, this is also good for you. So his finger was cut and he's telling, it's good for me. He said, yes. Then he became very angry. King became very angry. He told his security guards and told the security guards, put him behind the bar, put him in the jail. He said, that is also nice. Krishna is very merciful. That's good that you are putting me in the jail. Then that king went for a hunting in the forest. And he was lost in the forest. And in that forest on that day, some dacoits were performing some Devi Puja. And they were searching for a man for sacrifice. So they saw this man is there. So nice man, nicely built. So they caught him. And they caught him and took him in front of the Brahmin who is going to do the sacrifice. The Brahmin said, we can sacrifice, but you have to check his body. Because if the body is defective, it cannot be offered to the goddess. So these people started checking his body and they saw that his finger is cut. He said, no, this body is defective, it cannot be offered to the goddess. And he was relieved. And after he was relieved, he came to realize, oh, whatever my minister said is correct. Because my finger was cut, because of that, today my head was not cut. So Krishna is always merciful. Then he came back and he called his minister again. He said, now I have realized that my finger was cut, it was the sweet will of the Lord. But how come you are in the prison, that is also sweet will of the Lord? He said, yes, that is also sweet will. If I was not in the prison, then I would have gone with you. Then I was caught, you will not be sacrificed, but I was not defective, so I would have been offered to the deity. So therefore, I was behind the bar, that was also the mercy of the Lord. In that way, we should develop positive attitude and try to think and try to accept everything as the mercy of the Lord. And in that way, we can advance in Krishna consciousness very easily. Otherwise, it's very, very difficult to advance in Krishna consciousness. And third one is, Suniti acted as guru and she was a preacher. So, a preacher need not be a pure devotee of the Lord. Suniti was not a pure devotee, but she acted like a guru or a preacher. Sometimes we think, oh, in order to become a guru, in order to become a preacher, you need to be a pure devotee of the Lord. Prabhupada used to tell that I am not a pure devotee. If I have a disciple like Dhruva Maharaj, then my life will be successful. And because Suniti made Dhruva Maharaj a devotee, while Dhruva Maharaj was going back to the spiritual world, Suniti also was with him. So that should be our mood. As a devotee, I may not be qualified to go back to the spiritual world, but if we can preach to somebody who will become like Dhruva, and by his strength of devotional service, we can go back to the spiritual world. Therefore, we should have the preaching spirit and try to preach as much as possible and try to make devotees. Prabhupada said that preaching is the essence. If you don't do preaching, then whole movement will collapse. Prabhupada said that as long as book distribution continues, my movement will be there. And when book distribution will stop, my movement will stop. And I was thinking, it's too much of a statement. Prabhupada made few statements because book distribution marathon, I want to stress something on book distribution, taking this opportunity. Prabhupada said, hypothetically, take the example, that all the temples of ISKCON are closed and there is no devotee, no temple. Still, my movement will be there if my books are there. Because anyone can come and read my book and start the ISKCON movement again. That is the potency of Srila Prabhupada's books. Prabhupada said that if all the temples are closed, as long as book distribution continues, my movement will continue. And I was thinking it's too much of a statement, but Prabhupada said, ISKCON is my body and BBT is my heart and ISKCON money is my blood. To make a body functional, you need the heart and you need the blood. Your body may be a little defective, but if heart is working properly and if blood is going on in the heart, then you'll survive. Right? So if all the temples and other things are like the body, but if book distribution, VVT prints books and money is going to VVT, that's the blood, then our movement will continue, even if our body may not be so much healthy. But if our body is very healthy, big temples, so many people, so many things are happening, but no books, no VVT, heart is not there, then what will happen? The body will become dead. So when I was analyzing this, I was very much convinced, yes, this preaching mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will continue as long as Prabhupada's books are there. Prabhupada said, how much preaching you can do by 3 minutes lecture? One of my book can create revolution in the world. And he said, my books are like time bomb. What time bomb? He said, you are giving the books, you are thinking, oh, no results, no devotee, no, people are not becoming devotees. But it has a time. So one day, that will explode. So our duty is to distribute. And Krishna, Srila Prabhupada will take care how to make that person a devotee of the Lord. So therefore, book distribution this month, we should take this opportunity and following the footsteps of Suniti, that we may not be qualified, we may not be pure devotees of the Lord, but by distributing Srila Prabhupada books, we are giving the opportunity to many other people to become the pure devotee of the Lord. And that is the essence of this scene of Dhruva Maharaj episode. So, 5 minutes more, so I'll stop here. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So the rest, the balance, the other things we'll be discussing in the evening. There are 3 more sins, and that is a lot of detailed discussions are there. So I'll stop here. So if you have any question or comment,